May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I am a news junkie, always have been and always will be. But I must confess that the news so far this year has not always been easy to process. In addition to the wars and conflicts around the globe, threats of terrorism surrounding the Olympic Games in Sochi, and the deadly effects of harsh weather this winter, several domestic news stories have given me chills because they have occurred at places we all have been known to frequent. Last month, a man was in the express checkout line at an East Coast Walmart. When his groceries topped the 20-item limit, the man behind him started yelling, pushed a grocery cart into him, and later tried to fight him. He faces felony charges. On the same day, a 12-year-old boy was accused of firing a 20-gauge shotgun 3 times in a crowded middle school gymnasium in the Southwest, wounding 2 fellow students. The day before, back east, a man and his wife went out on a movie date night. During the previews, the man texted their kids. The man sitting behind them in the theater, a retired police chief, became incensed, an argument ensued, and resulted in the retired officer being accused of shooting and killing the man. Yes, anger and darkness live among us as they have throughout the ages. But to me, it seems as if we need light now more than ever. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." This passage speaks directly to each and every one of us by calling us to action. There is no place for us to hide. Jesus doesn't say that we might be or could be or someday should be the light of the world. He says plainly, squarely, and forcibly that we are the light of the world right now, this very minute. This is our life and our mission. It is what God has called each of us to do with our lives. So what do we do to make sure that our light not only is turned on, but is seen clearly by others? As I pondered this question, I was reminded of author James Baldwin's observation, "For while the tale of how we suffer and how we are delighted and how we may triumph is never new, it always must be heard. There isn't any other tale to tell. It's the only light we've got in all this darkness." That's probably why I relate to stories so much. So let's look at ourselves honestly, afresh, and anew. Let us tell our stories of light and the stories of others. And in so doing, let our light shine forth brighter and stronger. God's light is a gift. But like any other gift, we have to accept it and acknowledge it. It is not easy to be the light of the world. In fact, there are times when we all resist God's call to us. Last month, I took part in our company's offsite meeting. At the start of the meeting, the head of our company handed out a book on prayer by the renowned theologian and Baptist minister Charles Simpson, who also happens to be the father of Jonathan Simpson, our company's head of marketing. I asked Jonathan what his favorite story was in his dad's book, and he didn't hesitate to tell me that it was when his dad was 17 years old, growing up in Louisiana Bayou country, and feared that God was calling him to be a minister just like his father and his father's father. He was a rebellious teenager who was resisting God. One Saturday night, Charles wandered home late as usual. His parents, as usual, waited up for him and, looking very serious, came to the door, and his dad asked, "Charles, do you know what your mother and I did tonight? We gave you to God. God gave you to us, and we don't know what to do with you, so we gave you back." Charles said that from that point on, his parents took a hands-off approach to his life. But God took a hands-on approach. It scared him. An incident upon incident convinced him that he was dealing with the Almighty. It culminated one night when he was car racing a friend and took a turn too fast. His friends didn't think he would survive, but as his car was lifted off the ground, Charles said he heard the Lord clearly ask, "So, how would you like to be a minister?" While our stories may not be as dramatic as this one, there are times when all of us resist God and are not open to God's path for our lives. Like it or not, if we are honest with ourselves, there are times when we put a bushel basket over our light. Is it anger, self-absorption, addiction, an inferiority or superiority complex, fear or jealousy, to name a few? We've all been there, one way or another. I remember telling a friend once that I didn't feel that close to God. My friend simply remarked, "Guess who moved?" It certainly wasn't God. By letting God's light truly shine within us, the bushel baskets, whatever they are, will fall away. Of course, that is easier said than done. And while we truly know we are a work in progress, let us each and every day focus on turning toward the light and let that light permeate our being. Before moving to California, I was out here visiting a friend in Redondo Beach. As the sun went down, we were on his balcony looking at the ocean as it became darker and darker. Suddenly, I looked to my left and for the first time saw this beautiful city lit on a hill. I asked my friend, "What's that?" He responded, "Palos Verdes." The lights on the hill were calming, inviting, and intriguing. A few years later, when we decided to move to California, I couldn't get my first image of Palos Verdes out of my mind. Though I was drawn to PV, one thing is certain. God's light is with us wherever we go, wherever we are. Our true light is derived from our relationship with Jesus Christ. Our light is not our own, but is our reflection of Jesus' light, and we are called to share that light. As we share, we must always know and trust that when we do so, we are never alone. As Paula said in her sermon last week, the Holy Spirit is always at our side, helping us to listen and pay attention. For example, there was a man flying home last year on an evening flight. All he wanted to do was read his book and fall asleep. A young woman sat next to him, and he couldn't help but notice that something was terribly wrong. She, too, could only think of sleep, but the Holy Spirit was active that night. After the usual chit-chat and then a pause, the man felt led to try again and told her that if she wanted to talk, he was there for her. He then added that he could see it on her face that something was really wrong. For the next 3 hours, she told him about the near-fatal car accident involving her sister's fiancé and the effect that it had on her family. They listened to each other and shared faith stories. The next day, the young woman wrote on her Facebook page that God made a direct path for her and a stranger to meet, and that he was her angel that night, giving her and her family the hope and assurance that God is working for good in all situations. She then added that God has an interesting way of sending us messages, and if we aren't looking for them, we may not see them. Then there's the story of the hospital chaplain who was leaving the hospital one night when she felt led to go to the room of a man who was in a coma. She went to his bed, held his hand, and prayed out loud. A few days later, she stopped by his room and was surprised to see him awake. She walked in and said hello. Before she could tell him who she was, he cut her off and said, "I would know that voice anywhere. You were the chaplain who prayed for me." Stories of light are everywhere and remind me of what my wife Suzanne likes to call the prism effect. Her great aunt and uncle had an antique lamp with some 25 crystal prisms hanging from it. And every time you walked into the living room, depending on the time of day, the sunlight would reflect in different patterns and directions. In a similar way, each day provides us with opportunities to go in different directions and to connect with other people, family members, friends, and strangers. Who knows the impact your simple words of hello or a laugh or a smile can have on others? When we have first arrived at this parish over 10 years ago, and I started serving at the altar, I would always go out and pass the peace with my wife, and then go back to the altar area. However, it wasn't long until a young boy, with a big grin and an outstretched arm, caught my eye and made a connection with me. He showed me the importance of passing the peace with as many people as possible, and helped enable me to meet new people. Now, 10 years later, passing the peace with this young man is one of the highlights of my week. By reaching out to others through God, you will prompt others to do the same. By letting our light shine before others through Jesus Christ, it is not about us, but about the glory and mystery of God. One of my favorite things I look forward to when Paula preaches is that she starts her sermons off by quoting from the third chapter of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, when she gives thanks to God, whose power is doing infinitely more than we could ever ask for or imagine. Those words excite me and give me the assurance by letting God be in charge of our lives, God only knows where we will go and where our light and that of others will shine. For it is true, we need light now more than ever. Amen.